America
Weekend. It has been one of the most talked about images to come out of the Baltimore confrontations, the riots, where a mother swooped into the middle of the activity to take her 16-year-old son home, hitting him several times to make her point. Now, we have online Yvette Arujo, I think I pronounced it correctly, has worked as a therapist for troubled youth males and is herself a mother of two adult children. In addition, she is author of super maternal novels such as The Loathing, The Origin, and or supernatural, I should say, novels as The Loathing and The Origin, and soon to be released Andronomy. Did I get that right, Yvette?
No.
Help me, please.
Okay, number one, last name, Arujo.
Arujo, okay.
Hard J.
Okay.
Third book in the book, in the series of 12.
Androgyny.
Androgyny, you got it. Yes,
okay.
That's it. Yes.
All right,
yes.
Sorry about that.
No worries, and thank you for having me on this
morning. It's a delight. Carl and I are very delighted that you're here. Now listen, should that mother's actions be celebrated or not?
All right. First, before I answer that question, I found it quite interesting that you said that the cameras captured and one of the most things that are being spoke about is a woman going into what I believe is to save her child. So this Sunday, being Mother's Day, she's not making funeral arrangements or how she's going to get transportation to see her son behind, you know, a jail cell wall or prison or something, you know, quite fatalistic. Why weren't cameras turned on the CVS that was destroyed or the senior citizen building that was, you know, being demolished and all of the other wreckage that these
But they were, don't you think?
People. I don't. I think the focal point was on, first of all, you know, they gave her a label as, they labeled her as, you know, single mother. Right there, stigma. Two of six. Unemployed. Three. All these things, what do they have the price of tea, you know, have to do with the price of tea of China, in China about what an individual did once she was viewing it on her television, watching, seeing her son, she recognized his trousers below his bum, recognized the sneakers that he was wearing. She went out into the street. I've been on an interview where even a caller called in and said, well, you know, she was nicely dressed. I think if that woman was coming out of the shower, peeked around, looked at the rioting on the television, saw her son, I think she would have been out there in robes, rollers, and slippers, if that was the case. I would have been all day, every day. Because she didn't go out there looking for cameras. She was out there looking for her son to save him from something that could have been, again, fatalistic or something that would have determined his future for the next 25 years.
Well, you know, another way to look at that, Yvette, is the fact that this was an anomaly. I remember watching the CVS pharmacy being looted and burned.
Yes.
And the other riotous actions at that time.
Yes.
But when this came up with this lady out there, trying to get her, I guess he was 16 years old. I don't know.
He was 16. Mm-hmm. 16, and his name is Michael, and her name is Toya.
I think the anomaly of that happening made it news.
But why? When you are, you know...
Because it doesn't happen very often.
But yes, it does, all day. If we have to break it down to, unfortunately, a cultural issue, then, you know, then we'll go there. But it does happen. And, you know, I've been told, well, you know, if any other day, she would have, you know, DSS would have been called. Well, this wasn't any other day. And this was not under any normal circumstance. This was riotous. This was a very aggravated, this was a very inflammatory situation to where a mother went in to save her son from one, incarceration, two, from being maybe fatally wounded. She even put herself in harm's way. And I don't think for one moment that the word corporal punishment, as we PC, you know, use in the last, 25, 30 years, had anything to do with it. She understood those cameras were not rolling 48 hours before the rioting started, not even 24 hours before, okay? So in that household, we do not understand what she had told her only son out of six children, five girls, one boy. And from her interviews, from what I've understood, she told him, do not go down to that area and get yourself into trouble. He disobeyed, and the cameras weren't rolling then when she was handing out strict disciplinary advice and a directive not to go and get mixed up in that crowd. He did what he wanted to do, and she went down there, and she did what she had to do.
Hi, Yvette. This is Carl Sabatino.
As you Hello.
Are, how, it's a pleasure. The other half of Smith Sabatino, I call it the second half. However,
yes.
respectfully so. But I'm speaking to 1962. My mother,
okay.
Little Yolanda, she was called. She was 4 foot, 10.5 inches tall, 4 foot, 10.5 inches wide. Okay?
Sounds like my mom.
And
from
people
Cuba.
Do not remember the riots in Greenwich Village in 62, but they were riots. This is before the riots that came on later on in the early 70s around Stonewall and gay freedom and so on. There had been riots since, it doesn't matter what the reasons for, but they were. Okay? And my mother came and got her two sons, Ralph and Carl. By the ear, okay? There were no cameras at the time. And she took us off Balika Street and took us home all the way with her hands firmly on our heads. Okay.
How old were you?
I was at that time 16.
Okay. Right. Okay. Same age.
And my brother Ralph was 18. By the ears. Embarrassing? You have no idea. That was embarrassing.
Absolutely.
But the point is, here's the point, and I'm trying to separate the two issues. One is a mother's right to do that, firmly agreed, no doubt in my mind. Secondly, if the cameras were not there or were there, she would have done the same. We agree on that. She would have done the same thing. Okay. The fact the cameras were there, and Marl and I on this show have said we are very disappointed because it's our business how badly those riots were covered, where the particular news people became the story as opposed to the
Thank
other way
you.
Around. Okay.
Absolutely.
We agree on that, okay?
We're all on the same page.
My question at this point is follows. That is a circumstance in time, and it evolved by itself, which happens in news today. It probably will happen again. I'm suspecting it will. Your thoughts
Absolutely.
On the situation as opposed to the particulars. Are you opposed to how we covered it, how our news covered it, or the fact that it happened in that situation at that time? Where is the objection here?
I am upset that we're even speaking on her.
Okay.
Because it was an opportunistic way of creating the news instead of reporting it. And so this is not a woman who was seeking a reality show or 15 minutes of fame. She was going there so she could sit down this Sunday with however many children are in her home and have Mother's Day and every other day thereafter. Because when you are, and let's bring cultural interest in this, when you are a mother of color and you have a son that has a complexion that is dark, you worry just on the plight that there is a rogue cop out there that's not doing their due diligence and will pull your son over and will profile him and will take him down. You never know what is rogue and what is good. On both sides. They are there to protect and serve, but there are some sour ones in the bunch. And so, you know, as we focus on this and we turn it into a racial issue, you know, it takes the community and split it and divide it between the people that are trying to protect the community and the community itself. There are wonderful officers out there that will protect and serve, and they will look past cultural interest and just understand the behavior at hand. And then there are rogue cops that are just going to take it down anyways, and they have their own axe to grind.
Well,
so when you ask me which is upsetting, it's the way the media covered it, because of course it made it the focal point. And this woman at the end of the day still has no job. She has her family intact, and she has been all over the place, you know, being exploited. And you have people of color that are coming out against her. You have Anglos that are coming against her. And I'm from the old country. And I definitely, if you said something even off kilter to your elders or to your parents, you got the back of their hand. That's it.
Well,
there was grand reverence,
yeah,
you know, for your...
Yeah, I have to cut you short here because we're out of time.
But
let me tell you, thank you for your thoughts. Sure. I disagree with a couple of them, okay. And perhaps at some future point we can come back on and get you on, and we'll talk about what the news media responsibility is based upon what is covered.
Yes.
I would agree.
Thank you.
And to find those books, followinthebookseries.com, go there. And
quickly,
you
say goodbye.
Out.
Thank
okay,
you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What would you do for $1 million? Well, social psychologists know, and here's the science of it. Even in this difficult economy, 16% of the population said they would punch out their boss. But get this, 24% said they'd do it for free. 20% of the population said it would take $1 million to get naked in a public place. 30% said they would strip down for $100,000. 14% said they would cut off their arm for money, but 80% said no way. And get this, 6% said they would compromise their mate's sexual integrity for $1 million. Shame on them.
Hey, for $10,000, I'd wear the nightgown my grandmother was buried in.
What's the cheap psychological trick? We do what we need to do to survive, but when you sell your soul, you can't buy it back. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green. Harrison with you. New issues with an old poison. From 1961 to 1971, the military sprayed Vietnam with Agent Orange to defoliate trees for military objectives. Agent Orange contained huge quantities of dioxin, one of the most dangerous and cancer-causing chemicals known to man. Truthout's Marjorie Cohn reports that between 2.5 and 4.8 million people were exposed to Agent Orange, and the spraying covered 1.4 billion hectares of land and forest. Chemical analyses now show the U.S. soldiers exposed to Agent Orange suffer rampant cancers and liver damage and heart disease, birth defects, skin and nervous disorders. Agent Orange's creator, Monsanto, who also created NutraSweet, has been quietly paying out $1.52 billion to American soldiers as a settlement. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.